Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. For I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
We are just so honored to have our special guest tonight, Carol Matriciana, producer, TV producer, of her second DVD, Wide is the Gate, The Emerging New Christianity. And I just want to say, if you don't have the DVD, go to Carol Productions, go to Carol TV, and get a copy of this her latest DVD. I believe it is very necessary to have it in the church today. Carol, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I am here. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest on your show again.
Well, thank you for just taking time out of your busy schedule to be here to join us. And I wanted to say that we had a donation to come in, one of our listeners. She sent $140 to sow into the ministry to, she said, when you come to Georgia, she wants to have a front row seat. So she wanted to be the first to sow in the ministry so we could get you here to Atlanta.
Oh, how very precious. Thank you very much. That is such an encouragement. I love
yes.
love people who love the Word of God, and you know that's our only food in life. That's what we need to be so fed on, and
yes.
it's wonderful when we meet fellow Bible believers who not only
mm-hmm.
believe the Word of God but love the Word of God and love to be
right.
fed on it.
Yes, and her testimony was she was delivered from the Kundalini spirit by reading one of your books. And that's how she became set free, because she was bound up in that. So
that is very, very encouraging. And just so that your other listeners that may not understand what the Kundalini spirit is, I was born and raised in India, and I lived there for the first 20 years of my life. And one of the amazing things about most cultures around the world is that they believe that the wisdom of the snake, in China it's called the dragon, and the dragon is on all the buildings. Many of the buildings have the wooden moldings and wooden engravings of the dragons over all the shop fronts and the building fronts and the housing developments. And in India, we see that the snake is always wrapped around the gods, the deities. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deities within Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the leading deities, Shiva, and he has a snake always wrapped around his throat, wrapped around his neck, wrapped around his arms, sometimes around his legs and his body, because he is the embodiment of snake power, which in all these cultures is considered to be wisdom. And, of course, we know that it's only in the Bible. The Bible is the only teaching, basically, that talks of the snake as negative, but doesn't say that he doesn't have power. So we understand that the snake does have power, because this snake was able to persuade Eve to listen to him and to be seduced by him and to be deceived by him, and she wanted his wisdom. So what we see today is this wisdom being presented to the world in very, very subtle forms. And as your listener, who we're just talking about, she obviously got involved in something where she allowed snake wisdom, perhaps unwillingly, perhaps unknowingly, because many times, you know, one doesn't even know that snake power is entering you, because you want to have wisdom, you desire to be closer to God, let's say, and hundreds and thousands of Christians get involved in swallowing the lie because they want to get closer to God, but they don't understand that the snake is seducing them. Because if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they believe that Jesus died on the cross for them and that Jesus is their Savior, we can't get any closer. We are one with him. We abide with him. And that is the most wonderful mystery that God has given us, that through faith, Jesus cleanses us so that we can be one with him, and we're in unity with him. So really, you can't get any closer than that. But the world tries to tell us that if we do enough works, if we do enough going to church, if we do enough legalism and praying, if we do 24/7 marching up and down, demanding demons to come here and there, that we can get closer. And then, of course, that's how the snake power enters one, through the lie.
Yeah, that is so true. Actually, she said the way she received that snake power, it was imparted. A person laid hands on her, and she felt it when it came in her. And she felt that it would be intertwined around her spine. And she said she remembered that so clearly. And then she started getting these visions and all these, you know, things like that. So she said it was like he transferred that spirit in her. So, yeah, that's absolutely true.
That is happening in the hundreds and thousands. There is this new deal which is coming through the new Pentecostal, new charismatic new apostolic reformation movement and prophetic movement. It started in about the 80s, and there were these teachers that started saying that by laying hands on you, they could impart the Holy Spirit. Now, you see, that's not a biblical, that does not come from the Bible. You cannot impart the Holy Spirit to somebody through laying hands on them. That is, the Holy Spirit comes into us just as it did in Pentecost to the Pentecost church, the first churches. We read in Acts that the Spirit, at his own bidding, at his own beckoning, at God's calling, he entered thousands of Jews that were gathered in Jerusalem at Pentecost, at the first church that was the Pentecostal, the first Pentecost church, where the Holy Spirit came down in tongues and in fire. And that is because it came from God, not through the of the apostles going around laying hands on people and saying, be filled. That is how it's done in India under Hinduism and Eastern mysticism, where these god men, shamans, these holy men have a supernatural power that they have got from spirit, from the spirit world, from their dead masters, and then they lay hands and put their power on you. And I know this sounds confusing, my dear friends out there, but this is happening through the Christian church. And I actually was at a meeting where somebody who calls himself an apostle, and this is a heresy of the new apostolic reformation, where Apostle Todd Bentley laid hands on 500 pastors, and I was at that meeting and saw him, these pastors who should have known better, they should know their scriptures, they should know that the impartation does not come by man, does not come by the laying on of hands like this. And through Todd Bentley, at what is now today called this impartation of the Holy Spirit, which is completely centered in witchcraft, shamanism, Eastern mysticism, occultism. I watched some of these pastors just fall to the ground as this Kundalini power got moved from Apostle Todd Bentley into these people, who then went back to their churches believing themselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, when really they were filled with lying spirits and doctrines. It was a horrible thing to watch. And in fact, Volume 3 of Wide is the Gate, the Emerging New Christianity, is going to be on this new apostolic and prophetic movement, on this idea of these apostles and prophets who believe that they have got special anointing from the spirit world, and that their anointing is greater and supersedes scripture. So they can make up doctrines like this imparting, this impartation of the Holy Spirit. They can make up these kind of doctrines and say that these new doctrines have come from visions that they received, a revelation they received when they went up heaven. So they're making new doctrines on how to open up the heavens, how to go into the heavens, and these things come from the occult world, not from scripture.
My goodness. we definitely want to talk about this new, well, this Pentecostal. Well, did we open up in prayer or no?
No, you can't. Go ahead.
Let's do that.
Lord, we just want to thank you. We open up today. We just give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for our audience. We thank you for our special guest, Carol, joining us tonight and just bringing us just wisdom on this matter, Lord God. It's so urgent in the church, and we ask that you word our mouth. Guide us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we just thank you, and we just ask that you just strengthen her, bless her ministry, Lord God. help the believers, take the blinders off their eyes, take the stoppers off their ears so that they can hear the word going forth tonight. Lord God, we just ask you that you just be with us on tonight and ask you to be with our listening audience. And this we pray, amen, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah. Yes, continue with the Pentecost, because like I told you earlier, I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and they taught, like I said, I'm not knocking that, but we would tarry for the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. And as I began to read the scriptures, I see it comes in by just believing and trusting God. You know, you don't have, like you say, you don't have to jump through hoops, you don't have to do all that to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Could you expound on that, Pam?
Yes. This is one of the greatest heresies that is happening in the church today, and my heart is so heartbroken, and I really grieve for this, because there are many, many, many Pentecostals. And, of course, the Pentecostal movement began with the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem through an act of God's grace, and of course the truth of that will always attempt to be spoiled by the enemy, who is so jealous of God's incredible powers and his workings and his signs and wonders, that the enemy comes in with counterfeits. And we have to be able to test the counterfeits. And my heart goes out to so many thousands of Christians that lean on an experience and say, well, I experienced God. Mm-hmm. And because they feel as though they're having a wonderful experience, and because they feel the richness of a presence, and because they feel the anointing, they think that all of this is based on the true Holy Spirit and the truth of Scripture. But the truth is that we live by faith, not feeling. So when we are going to feelings and experiences, we can have our emotions tampered with. And the whole world is out there trying to draw us away from the Word of God. And how many hours do I see people with their hands up in wonderful praise and Pentecostal services, where they've got their hands up, they're rocking back and forth, they're murmuring in tongues, but they're not putting that effort into reading the Word of God or being discipled by men of God, what Jesus told us, that we had to be discipled in his teachings. He said, go out and disciple them and teach them things that I taught you.
That's right.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, etc. So when we're rocking and praising God, not that I'm saying, my dear friends, not that I'm saying there's anything wrong in praising God and worshiping God, but you see, the enemy can take many, many hours away through that type of experience where we're in this kind of trance state and altered state of consciousness, and we're being robbed of the bread of life and
the
living water and the cleansing, sanctifying method that God has given us through listening to his word, hearing his word, being able to discuss his word with one another. So it's a ploy of the enemies to take us away from the depth of the word of God, because it's... the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not our emotions.
Amen. That is so true. That is so true. But you notice, Carol, you find in the churches today, people, they would rather have the emotionalism over the word. I've seen them. You could be sitting in church and they'll get up when the word is going forth, they'll tip out. You know, they'll walk out. But when the emotional part is going on, the music, the entertainment, they're all into it. But when the word, when the bread of life is broken, opened up, they start tipping out the church. And I want to know, why is there such
I guess, a falling away today. What is going on in the body of Christ?
Well, first of all, we have to be so encouraged by Scripture, because the Lord warned us that in the last days there would be falling away. He warned us. He warned us not because he says it's going to happen anyway, so who cares. He warned us to let us know that the spirits, that the spirits of lawlessness and the lovers of self would be growing in the last days, that this would be an emotionalism and a self-centeredness and the deification of man that would rise up against the wonderful deity of Jesus Christ. So it is the enemy's battle. The enemy is blinding the minds of people not to hear the word of God, not to have a love of the word of God, but rather to have this carnal, sensual, fleshly feelings that then bring man back into the center of the universe. You see, when I'm relying on my feelings, then I am in the center of my universe. When I am reading the word of God, then I have died to self, I am denying self, and I am allowing the Holy Spirit to minister God's word to me, and then he becomes my center. So the Holy Spirit then, who is the center, becomes my teacher, and then he's guiding me through the words of God to build up God's Spirit in me. And that, of course, is a much richer relationship, but the enemy wants a cheap counterfeit. And, you know, a lot of times what happens, the orthodox, the classical Pentecostal theology in orthodox Pentecostal churches, most people are probably fine because there's a firm belief in true Pentecostalism in the major tenets of Christianity. The major tenets of Christianity is the doctrine of the Trinity, that God is three persons. It's a mystery, it's hard to understand, but there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one, and all three persons are part of the same incredible deity. So that's one of the major tenets. The vicarious atonement of Christ, that Christ died for our sins, that the Word became flesh, dwelt amongst us, and died for our sins. This is orthodox classical Pentecostal feeling, teaching. Yes. Resurrection. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ rose from the dead by the grace of God, and he lives now. He stands on the right-hand side of God the Father and reigns, and we can reign in him. Wonderful promises. Salvation by grace. This is what makes Pentecostal movement profoundly classical and orthodox, and it's the same with any Bible-believing church. If that is our core beliefs, whatever the denomination, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the problem is the doctrines of demons and extra doctrines come in, and extra assigned, the gifts start taking on different meanings. For instance, in the Pentecostal belief, which is a perfectly legitimate belief, the idea that the gifts have continued, the gifts of miraculous healing have continued. There is prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation, miracles, healings, all of these things. I do not believe they've ceased. I truly believe these things. I know that they have continued for 2,000 years. The Holy Spirit has not gone to sleep on the job. The Holy
That's right.
And he is well able to do this. But the extra teaching that came into one of the aspects of Pentecostalism is that speaking in tongues in particular is the initial evidence of a second work of grace called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not really a biblical concept that if you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must speak in tongues. So what this does then is it forces people to think, oh my goodness, I'm not born again, whereas if one goes to John chapter 3, where Jesus says to be born again, Nicodemus, the Jewish teacher, came to him by night and said, "What must I do to have the kingdom of God?" And Jesus says, "You must be born again." And he said, "What do you mean? I have to go back into my mother's womb and this old man going back?" And Jesus said, "No, what's born of the flesh is of the flesh. What's born of the Holy Spirit is of the Spirit. We don't know where the wind comes from. We don't know where it goes." And that, in a way, is the picture of when I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and through faith, I am then redeemed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, many people at that point do burst out into a gift of tongues, which is a blessing that happens, and praise God if it happens. But if it doesn't happen, the individual mustn't feel that they haven't been saved by faith and that the Holy Spirit lives in them. Because then man starts trying to find the Holy Spirit and then gets into wanting to be have hands laid on them, which could bring in other demons. Then they want to move their mouth and come out with all these strange sounds, which may or may not be. I mean, it just leads to perhaps a demonic invasion because the individual hasn't kept to the promises of Christ. So, you know, as long as we realize the truth of Scripture, the inerrancy of Scripture, the doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the atonement of the cross, the death, the burial, bodily resurrection, the coming again in glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the church will be raptured, that we will be with him, these are the core truths of Christianity. But there are a group of people today in the new apostolic reformation, the new apostolic meaning these are new apostles. They say there are 500 men who have joined in a corporation called the ICA, which stands for the International Coalition of Apostles. These 500 men feel that they have been anointed with a super anointing, a special anointing, which makes them apostles and prophets higher than the Word of God. Higher. They cannot check against Scripture because they say that they have had higher revelation. They have become exalted creatures of a higher calling, and they can come up with these new revelations that are teaching people how to go up into the heavenlies, how to call down spirits to be involved in spiritual warfare, to plead that demons come under our control and our power. Well, all of this then makes man become in the center of this power. And, you know, the Holy Spirit will do what the Holy Spirit will do according to God. And also, the Bible very, very clearly tells us who are legitimate apostles. And according to Peter, they had to be people that began the ministry with Jesus at the beginning when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. These were disciples and people that saw Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, who lived with Jesus, who watched Jesus in the resurrection. And these apostles were taught by Jesus. They became the foundation of the church. They were given governmental authority to lay down the doctrines of the church. And because they have all passed away now, there can no longer be these types of biblical apostles that are laid out in the Scriptures. So any gives himself the title of apostle today, I'm sorry to say, even though they call themselves elitist and feel that they can't be checked and tested, the Scriptures tell us to test them against Scriptures, and that is not a biblical apostle.
Well, you find a lot of people, a lot of pastors are calling themselves apostles. I mean, it's everyone have an apostle or a bishop, you know, and I know you can be a bishop according to the Bible, but apostles, and this is
I wanted to ask you about the, because I know of one particular person and the demons. When he cast demons out, he felt like he had this special anointing. And I know we can, you know, cast demons out, but it's like he's above the rest. You know what I mean? So
well,
I wanted to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, this is part of this new apostolic reformation and prophetic movement. There are hundreds, I'm telling you, thousands of self-proclaimed prophets who, once they get into the state of believing that they're an anointed person, have special anointings, then this opens up doors for demons to come in. Because at this moment, somebody becomes very proud. The most wonderful thing I love about Jesus, our precious Son of God the Father, is that he humbled himself to become a man. The wonderful mm-hmm. thing that we see in the ministry of Jesus is that here is God himself, deity himself, humbling himself to be in the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't sinful. He was tempted in every way as we are, but he was without sin, it says in Hebrews. And he came in the likeness of flesh so that he could, in that flesh, take on our sins and be punished for our eternal judgment so that we could have eternity with him. What a humble, precious attitude. And we as Christians, if we are really joined with Jesus Christ, then we, like him, die to self and become humble. But these people that call themselves apostles have elevated themselves above the scriptures. They did not walk with Jesus. They did not see Jesus baptized with John the Baptist. They did not see Jesus resurrected. Now they claim that they go up to the heavens and that they visit Jesus and they talk to Jesus and they go into the third heaven and into the heavenlies. Well, these are delusions. These are apparitions. This is what shamans and occult priests and voodoo priests and people who are filled with demonic beings do. This is when you mm-hmm. go into altered states of consciousness and go and think that you're in the presence of God in the heavenlies. These are very, very heretical ideas, because we live by scripture say, blessed are those of us that haven't seen Jesus. Look at Thomas, who said mm-hmm. that doubting Thomas, when all the other apostles said that they had seen Jesus, he said, I will not believe it until Jesus puts his fingers in my, until I can put my fingers into Jesus' hands and into Jesus' sides. And when Jesus came to Thomas, he said, Thomas, blessed are those who haven't seen me. Because you see, we live by faith based on the promises of God. And we believe in Jesus through the scriptures. We see his power through the Holy Spirit, through his words in the scriptures. We don't have to rely on visions and pumping ourselves up and having hype and having music and entertainment and a lot of noise and a lot of hoopla and a lot of ceremony and a lot of worship. We do not have to go into that place of manipulated excitement, which brings with it incredible spiritual dangers.
Well, Carol, and everything that we've said sounds like that is in direct correlation with our subject on tonight, the emerging new Christianity. Because if I'm not mistaken, all of this is a part of our subject topic tonight, emerging new Christianity. I'll say it like this. From what I had, what we looked at in your programs before, look like all that goes on in this emerging new Christianity, all of this stuff that we're talking about.
Yes, and tonight we have specifically put a lot of attention to the way that it's coming in through the Pentecostal church,
mm-hmm.
through the great Pentecostal. Now, I'm not saying that there are not wonderful brothers and sisters in the Pentecostal church that believe in all the tenets that we've already talked about, who do not get wrapped up in feelings and signs and wonders and miracles and all these other apostate heretical teachings. Not that I'm saying all miracles and signs and wonders are not of the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. But there is a big hype going on at the moment where hundreds and thousands of apostles, newly elected self-proclaimed apostles, who have no allegiance to any denominations. They just, they're itinerant preachers that are just going from TV studio to TV studio to great big conference center to conference center, pulling in crowds. And that is one way that the emerging new Christianity is coming through the Pentecostal movement. But in volumes one of Wide is the Gate, the Emerging New Christianity, and volume two, I focused in on how the new Christianity has come through the other denominations, because all the church body is vulnerable. We are all the hands and feet and members of Christ being our head, and the enemy wants to attack Christ's body. And there are many in all these different interdenominational churches, different denominations, whether they be Catholic, whether they be Protestant, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, whatever it is, there are people within here that are preaching truth based on line by line, verse by verse, by book from the Word of God, and praise them, God bless them and encourage them, and those that are sitting in the pews that want to be fed with the pure Word of God, God bless them and honor them. But there are others that are not satisfied with the fullness of the Word of God, and they want to, they do not feel that the Word of God is sufficient. They do not feel there's enough stimulation in it. Just like we said at the beginning of the show, when the Word of God comes, then people want to walk out and get out of the pews. So preaching the Word of God does not bring in a lot of money to a lot of pastors and does not bring in churches. But if one preaches a social gospel, a feel-good gospel, a how to be better through our own self-effort gospel, churches become mega churches and seeker-friendly churches with huge auditoriums, as long as the Word of God isn't taught. And Jesus said that he was a stumbling block, and we know that a lot of people do not want to follow Jesus because Jesus himself said he was narrow. Narrow is his way. Yeah. But he said that wide is the gate to destruction. So obviously we see a very wide Christianity today across all denominations, as long as they can do two things: in the pulpit, not teach from the Word of God, and bring in lots of music and entertainment that makes everybody feel good, and that the words of the music aren't doctrinally strong. Because in the old days we used to have gospel hymns that talked about the doctrines, you know, of the cross, that old rugged cross, and talked about what Jesus had done for us, and what wretched sinners we are. But today, people don't want to hear that, because this is not part of feeling good, you know. So what I did in volume one of Wide is the Gate is I gave of how Eastern mysticism had come into the church in the 60s through the invasion of the Godmen from India that introduced yoga. And then the idea of self-deification, which is the message of yoga, is that we all have God within us and that we just have to awaken God. And this can be done through psychology, through pop psychology, through feeling good efforts, through anything that looks within self, the self-positive movement, mm-hmm. the word faith movement, that if I just have enough faith in me and faith in my faith, and I can do whatever I want to do, well, all of a sudden, I have become the center again. That, and we know that the center, the middle letter of sin is I. So whenever we see I building itself up, then in comes sin. And that I Amen. Can do it. I can do it by myself. I can become better. I have got the potential within me. I will do it. And of course we know that Satan said that he will be like God five right. times. Ezekiel. So, you know, this is the problem, that the church has now become self-sufficient and wants to be able to be the center of the deity, the idea of that I have got all potential in me to do it. I don't need God. The scripture is questionable, et cetera, et cetera. So in volume one, I really showed it through all the various different movements in the self-help movement, in the psychology movement, in the self-fitness movement, in the self betterment movement of eating, that if we become vegetarians, we are what we eat. We can, not that I'm saying anything is wrong in eating healthily. We, of course we should eat healthily, but my salvation does not come through me eating well. My
That's
salvation...
Right.
But, you know, to look after our bodies is good, because that's good stewardship. So,
Amen.
My volume.
Now, Carol.
Sorry?
Excuse me. I want to bring something out. And you really, you already really brought it out already. But for the sake of our listeners, you talked about, we want to kind of bring out the root, what is the very root of this emerging church or this emerging Christianity, even though you have already brought that out a little bit. I want you to bring it out a little more. The roots of this, I heard you say something about Hinduism and all these things. Could you go into that a little more for our listening audience, to how this stuff really got started in the church in the first place?
Well, actually, honestly, the root of it began in the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
Satan convinced Eve that she could actually have wisdom through her own reasoning, and that she didn't really have to obey God, and that she really wouldn't die
mm-hmm.
if she leaned
mm-hmm.
on her own understanding. So the battle is, it started right there, that do we lean on our own understanding? Can we be separate from God? Can we kind of give allegiance to God and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but really God needs some help in my life? And, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the word emerging is an interesting word, because emerging, you can't really explain it, because emerging is a word that is always changing. So once
All right.
you think you've got the grasp of how Satan is working, he is evolving into another lie. Jesus called
mm-hmm.
him the father of lies. So
mm-hmm.
emerging is something that is changing, is ever changing. But Jesus, on the other hand, said that he was the
yes.
same yesterday, today, and
That's
forever.
Right. That's right.
Truth is absolute. There is no changing
the
truth.
Okay. I had a question in the chat room about the fivefold ministry over in Corinthians and Ephesians. Could you explain that? Because I think the listener is thinking that we don't believe in it, and we do. I do believe in the fivefold ministries, but like you were saying, sometimes we find that in today's movement, they are marketing off of these gifts, and they're saying it's of God when it's not of God.
Yes, of course. The fivefold ministry, which is one of the key doctrines of this new apostolic reformation, And they lean their fivefold idea on a chapter in Ephesians, as you said, and it says that the five aspects of this ministry are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. So mm-hmm. what this new apostolic reformation movement has done is they have put greater emphasis on regenerating apostles and prophets. But really, those ceased. When Jesus Christ taught the office of the apostle has ceased. Basically, in biblical terms, the apostles, because they are people that witnessed Jesus Christ being baptized by John the Baptist, it's a basic scriptural idea that they watched Jesus in his ministry, they watched him resurrect. So they are. That is the end of a ministry that God used, and they take that out of Ephesians 2:20 that says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and it absolutely is built on apostles and prophets. But after Jesus was resurrected and those apostles died, then the canon was written by those apostles. That means the scriptures, our New Testament, was written by those people through God who inspired the message, and those chosen people became the foundation of the church. Now, just like you, when you build your house, you lay mm-hmm. one foundation. There is only one foundation laid one time. So the foundation for the church has been laid by the apostles in the doctrines that we know in the New Testament, and they were completed. It's being completed, the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming and the church being laid. That is the foundation, and on that level, apostles and prophets have ceased. Now, that doesn't mean to say that when the church, somebody is going out to become a missionary, that the church doesn't pray for these apostles that are going out perhaps to mm-hmm. build a new church. But the idea that the recognition of the office of the apostle has now ceased, and the apostles and the prophets can no longer speak with a greater infallibility, if you will, in a kind of thus saith the Lord fashion. What we mm-hmm. see different today in the new apostles, new apostolic reformation and the prophetic movement is this group of people claiming to be apostles of an apostle status on par with the biblical apostles, Paul, Peter, John, etc. They believe that they have foundational authority over the church. This is not true. These men do not have foundational authority over the church. They say that the church must come under their authority, and that these prophets are speaking like thus saith the Lord authority. They're decreeing the destiny of nations. This nation has to do that. They're writing doctrines on every aspect. They're functioning as biblical apostles and prophets, and we're not allowed to test them because we're told that we're negative if we test them. We're being critical of God's anointed. But according mm-hmm. to the scripture, these are not apostles in the biblical apostles like Paul, Peter, and John. These are man-made people that are decreeing that they are able to go up into the third heaven, having visitations and all of this kind of thing. Now, if that emphasis, I mean, all right, let's say that the Ephesians 3:20 idea of apostles and prophets, what about the teachers and the evangelists and the pastors? Why don't they put them up on that same pedestal and that same level? You see, we are told to teach and disciple. We're told mm-hmm. to evangelize. We have got a gospel. There is a world dying without the Lord, without knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to evangelize, we need to teach, and we need to encourage our pastors to stay in the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. That is where the fivefold ministry, those three continuing aspects, is where the church should be in the church age today.
Yes, yes, it's so true. And I forget which scripture, but didn't he say, desire the gift of an evangelist?
Yes.
Well, these are certainly the gifts. I think the fact that this Ephesians 2:20 idea that the church, you know, is this, that the apostles and the prophets, in order to bring in a new church, remember earlier you asked the question of what is this emerging new Christianity? Well, here we have a change in Christianity because these men are saying that in order to have a new church, in order to bring the church alive today, we have to bring back apostles and prophets. What are they saying? That the Holy Spirit has been asleep for the last 2,000 years?
I'm sorry to me.
But the Holy Spirit is the life of the church. The Holy Ghost is the life of the church. That's what we have now. That's what's given us our strength through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and the Word, the Holy Spirit. That is our strength and that is our power. And we can depend on that. And see, the thing about it, if we follow the Word, okay, and we follow the Holy Spirit, well, see, pastors, evangelists, and people that are in leadership positions, we can trust in them as long as they are preaching the Word according to the Word, according to Christ, according by the Holy Spirit. If they get off when we're reading the Word, when we're being led by the Spirit, then we have adequate discernment to discern what is right and what is wrong. So we won't be, how you say, just following after every wind and doctrine. And that's kind of what's happening now.
Absolutely right. What these new anointed, self-appointed apostles and prophets are saying is that that they are above the prophets in the apostles in Jesus' day. And clearly, since Jesus' ascension, those apostles no longer exist. And we even see that indication in Scripture. In fact, in Jude 17, Jude tells his listeners to remember what they've been taught by the apostles. That's the apostle Jesus. He doesn't talk about an ongoing office of the apostles. That's what the Mormon church teaches, that we have to have living apostles today to pass on the message. That's the idea of living apostles passing on the messages is, you know, even part of Roman Catholicism, where living bishops or living elitist people have the office of the apostles. The most important epistle for the church, the epistles for the church, the pastoral epistles that gave us church structure, they talk about elders and deacons. They never talk about apostles. So we see the church was left in the hand of the elders and the deacons. There is not an ongoing office of the apostles. That is heresy.
Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's the reason why we have the particular program that we have on tonight, where the Word can be brought out in the fullness of the Word by the Spirit. That's true. When you read through the Scriptures, you'll see how Jesus Christ really set up the authority for the body of Christ. And that's how it is.
And you see what these people are doing, these new apostolic, these new apostles and these new prophets and this new prophetic movement, and there's all sorts of names for it, latter rain, manifest sons of God, third wave, whatever this that, you know, it's all called. That's why the difficulty is with the emerging, it's always changing. But whatever this movement wants to call itself, the fact that if we start looking to men, for men to lay hands on us, for men to impart the power that they say they've got, for men to tell us they're going up into heavens and having revelation, where did we see Paul doing any of this in the New Testament? I don't see Paul or Peter or Timothy or Jude or any of these people doing these things in the New Testament. These are
not. No, they did.
No, these are not teachings. This is heresy. This is the emerging new Christianity to take precious believers away from the Word of God, precious believers to get lost in heresy and wrong teaching and doctrines of demons and lying spirits, lying signs and wonders. It is tragic, and that's why I'm making Volume 3 to try and help people understand that these self-appointed apostles and prophets, I'm sorry to say, are liars, and we need to call liars, liars. And I'm only saying that because the Scripture tells us to do that. God tells us in Isaiah 5:20 that we must not call evil good and good
That's
evil.
Right.
He says that woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So I know it's hard to say, it's hard to, truth is hard, you know, but Jesus.
The wonderful thing about truth, though, is that it's healing. It's healing, it's deliverance in truth. And one thing about truth is there's no surprises in it because it's the truth. I mean, when somebody is lying, there's always some little trick, some little trap in it, and somebody's always going to get hurt. But in the truth, when it's out there, especially the truth of the Word of God, the only thing that it's going to do is bring you closer to God and strengthen you in the Lord. That's what it is. And that's why we have to put the truth out there, because as you said previously and as we talked about, when you go into the Scriptures, all the apostles were talking about was Jesus Christ. They preached the gospel. Many times they told people, hey, don't worship me. Don't look at us as anything. We are men like you. That's what Paul and Peter said on many occasions. They did all the pointing to Christ Jesus. Now, they knew what their position was. You know, they knew what Christ had called them to do. We called them apostles and things like that. All of those people at that time, when God gave them, Christ gave them a particular position, they knew what that was. But they didn't... they didn't glory in that position, or they didn't put that a position above the mission that Christ has given them, saying, look at me, I am an apostle, or I am an evangelist, or I'm a prophet. No, I'm just somebody that Jesus Christ called to do a work.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
The difficulty with these prophets today is that when they get their wrong prophecies, if they're going to say the Lord, well, then thus saith the Lord in the Old Testament, those prophets were stoned, but these people are putting themselves above Old Testament prophets, saying that they're different to them. They've got a new anointing, a special anointing, and so, you know, they can come with lies, and they can't be tested, because then they'll sell me that I've got a Jezebel spirit because Jezebel came to the king and the king is God, or I've got a Judas spirit because Judas came against Christ and I'm coming against Christ's anointed. Well, I just have to go back to the Scripture and I see, no, you are not Christ's anointed if you will not stay within the boundaries of Scripture.
That's Amen. Carl, in the things that we're talking about, now, it was something else that we were looking at. Do you think this postmodernism would have anything to do with what we're talking about now?
Well, yes. Postmodernism is a new word for rebellion. Postmodernism is a new word for not wanting to come under authority. They say that this postmodern generation, actually Adam and Eve were the first postmodern people. They did not... they were rebellious. So it's an attitude that happened the moment that sin came into our universe, the idea of kicking against the good, kicking against authority. Today they say that you can't define truth, and therefore, because we can't define truth, truth is whatever anybody makes truth. No, no, no. Jesus said, I am the truth. So if we as Christians believe in Jesus, then anything that Jesus has said is the truth. And if that's the definition, then Jesus is truth. Now, there's lots of other types of facts, like 2 and 2 makes 4 is a mathematical fact, and some people call that a truth. Well, it's a mathematical fact. There's a the law of physics has a fact built into it that if you go jump off the 22nd floor of a hotel or a building, that you are going to go down and not go up. So are laws of gravity and laws of this universe that have factual implications, but the truth is a morality, which is quite from these kind of things. And if we start going into morality, then Jesus said he is the truth. The Bible becomes our moral plumb line and yardstick, and the ethical and moral truths that God has put down have to be the ethical and moral truths that we want to live by. Now, there are many, many people in this earth, hundreds and thousands, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not been regenerated. They have not been born again. So, therefore, they walk in their sin nature, and they are in the position of Adam. When Adam was thrown out of the Garden of Eden and he had a sin nature, he became a degenerate, and he thinks as a degenerate. So hundreds and thousands of people today think as degenerates, and they try and redefine truth. They try and redefine according to man what looks good to man, but the only way that they can really be plugged into God's truth is when they become born again through Jesus Christ, become regenerated, have their old sin nature put under death through Jesus Christ, and as Jesus was put to death for our sins, then the new born-again person can be resurrected with Jesus, regenerated into a new creature, given a new morality, where we then start learning to love the Word of God, love the truth of God, and start getting our spirits changed by the Word of God to embrace God's ethics and God's morality. This is the new nature. So the Christian that is born again needs to have a different nature to the person that will not believe in Jesus Christ. And obviously we can't hold them accountable. They make up their own truth. They make up their own that is a postmodern generation, because they're under rebellion, and they don't want to come under God's authority. So then they start redefining new church codes, new behavior in churches, that churches can embrace all sorts of sins of sexual deviancy or same partners or whatever, and call it okay. And if that's what they want to do, then that's according to their old sin nature, but it's not according to the nature of somebody that is born again in the spirit and a new morality in Jesus Christ.
Yes, so basically this postmodernism is something that's somewhat against the gospel of Jesus Christ. They do not want to accept the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the truth of the Word of God, and the truth of the things of God. So that's basically what that is.
Absolutely. It's man has made up his own way, and the scriptures tell us that in the last days, men will be lovers of self. They'll walk in their own boastful arrogance, in their own decisions, in their own leaning, in their own understanding, and that this is what we in this generation that totally rejects the plumb line of God's authority, which is what Adam and Eve did.
Well, the scripture also tells us that the way of a man or the thinking of man, it seems to be right to him, but the scripture also tells us that the end thereof is destruction. So the righteousness of man apart from God, he's going to wind up and destruction in a very bad way, because as the scripture said, our righteousness, what we think is right to God, is a dirty, filthy rag. It's not even something that God looks on at all, our righteousness. It's nothing to God.
Well, he can't look at it. But yes, he can't look at it. That's, he cannot have fellowship with darkness, because the father of light, there is no shadow, no variation in him. So that's why he can only look at us if we are in Jesus Christ, and then him looking at us through the filter of what Jesus has done for us then gives us a new righteousness. We have become we become slaves to the righteousness of Jesus. We are just newborn creatures that God can look at through what his son has done for us.
Amen. Amen.
You know,
we have about...
Sorry.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to let our listening audience know we have about 24 minutes left on the program. So that does give you time to call in. I'm going to give you our call-in number where you can ask Carol some questions that's on your mind. In that regard, that number is 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. You can put a 1 before that. Say 1-323-375-0849. You can call in at any time. All right, Carol, we're listening to you. Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's so many ways that this emerging church is gaining inroads into mainstream Christianity, and one of the ways is there is a group of men called the Kansas City Prophets, and these Kansas Prophets are very, very influential, and they have a leader, probably one of the most influential leaders, teachers of this movement, is a fellow called Mike Bickle, who considers himself a prophet, apostle, and anointed, and he's considered by many people to be mainstream. Now, he is the founder of something called the International House of Prayer. And this is a ministry that began in St. Louis, and he was given a revelation from God, and that he was supposed to come to Kansas City, and he, en route there, he stopped off in Cairo, and he received this revelation from God. What I want to encourage your listeners to do, because, you know, all these thousands of prophets, these self-proclaimed, self-anointed, anointed men are encouraging people to go up into the third heaven and have revelations. Now, because I was born and raised in India and grew up 20 years of my life in Hinduism, the idea of going into the supernatural is something that is very normal within pagan societies. And as the church is paganized, you see many in the church doing these pagan rituals because men who are calling themselves apostles and prophets or Christians or having revelations with Jesus Christ. But remember, Paul said that Satan gives us another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I fear lest as Satan deceived Eve that your minds will be deceived by another Jesus. So here we have this particular Kansas City prophet, and I'm not saying this only against Mike Bickle. All of these men of God, whether these anointed, self-proclaimed people, whether it's Chuck Pierce, whether it's C. Peter Wagner, whether whoever, Dutch Sheets, whoever these prophets, self-proclaimed prophets are, but this particular one, Mike Bickle, who has an incredible influence through his International House of Prayer, he received this revelation in Cairo, where he heard what he says, the internable, audible voice of God. Now, remember when he says he hears the word of God, this is a thus saith the Lord thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So now immediately, if we say that we hear an audible voice of God, thus saith the Lord, we can compare this against Scripture, because God tells us to test all the spirits against Scripture. So now
That's right.
This said to him, This is the word. This is this authority. This God said to him, I am going to change the understanding and expression of Christianity on the whole earth in one generation. I am going to change the understanding and expression of Christianity on the whole earth in one generation. So Mike Bickle came to that was really his mandate. He wanted to change Christianity in the face of the whole earth, using whether it's God TV, whatever other TV media, gatherings, huge great conferences, these prophets, thousands of people, 500 anointed, international coalition of apostles, whoever, whatever it is, he has got this serious mandate that he says is from God. I'm going to change the expression of Christianity on the whole earth in one generation. Now, that is completely against the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the scriptures. So here we have the South Kansas City Fellowship, where he met people like Prophet Bob Jones and all these other prophets, that Paul, you know, whether it was John Paul Jackson, Paul Kane, Michael Sullivan, whoever, all these prophets, self-proclaimed people, they want to change Christianity. So they are working above the authority of Scripture to change what God has ordained in Scripture through his Holy Spirit, through the working of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, through the giftings, the way that God is going to do it. These pompous, arrogant hundreds and thousands of apostles and prophets who will not hold themselves accountable to Scripture are leading hundreds and thousands astray. And I say that with the greatest love and the greatest grief in my heart. And that's why I make the movies I make, to try and alert people in these last days where the church, where the scriptures told us there's going to be a falling away of the church, that we be careful and mindful not to listen to doctrines of demons. And if we are persuaded, that we test them against Scripture. We go to people like you. I encourage all your listeners to go to you and your wife, men and women of God, to lead them to test everything against the Word of God and against Scripture, so that they can come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the simplicity of the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation for our souls.
That's right, that's right. And what's happening right now, Carol and Catherine, is people really don't understand apostasy. A lot of people think that apostasy is just something outside of the church, but what apostasy is, and you can bring that out also, Carol, is that it happens within the church. It's people that once believed the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they go into something that's not the truth, and they preach it and teach it like it's the truth. That's apostasy. Yeah. That's apostasy, and that's what's going on in America today.
Yes, and
go ahead,
Carol. Not only America, I'm sorry to say, American TV has got a huge influence in India, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand. These prophets and apostles are teaching impartation, laying on of hands, manifestations of spirits, jerking, falling to the ground, practicing the presence, all these things that are not mentioned in the Bible and the New Testament.
Yes.
They are leading hundreds and thousands to a different, to a lie, to a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel.
Yeah.
Well, Carol, what I want to bring out a little bit is what you said. You said something in reference to these different individuals laying hands on people and all that. And we know that there is reference to that in Scripture, but what's actually going on, and I never will forget one day, I saw something on television in reference to some monks over there, and Tibetan monks or something. Anyway, these different monks that's into the martial arts and all this kind of things, you know, the standing on the tips of swords and all these kinds of things like this. I saw a documentary on that, and this particular monk that was training his disciples are training his trainees, he went up to them and he laid his hands on them, and every one of these trainees that he laid his hands on fell out. and start kicking. And I looked at that. I said, wow, wow, that's something else, something else. And when I thought about that, when I thought about it, he was transferring something to these people. And the reason I'm saying this is people have to be careful when they allow false teachers, false prophets to lay hands on them like that, because they're, whatever is guiding and motivating that person is going to get over on, the devil will get over on them, I'll say it like that.
But
now,
you know what?
If you can, you can elaborate on that. Hello?
The scripture warns us not to lay hands suddenly on any person. Paul tells Timothy that. Do not lay hands suddenly on any person. In other words, I don't like people laying hands on me or praying for me by laying hands on, because I don't know what's happening. Now, within the Bible, we do see practices of laying on of hands. The laying on of hands in the Bible, though, is usually done in the sense of commissioning somebody, and in a sense of a form of prayer. The idea of assurance that I can impart my power to you is really an occult idea, because the Holy Spirit does not distribute gifts in me, in the body. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts as he will. He comes to you, he comes to Catherine at his will, according to his way, in his timing, to help perhaps a sick person that Catherine or I are going to be with, or, you know, to pray in a way that, in a form of prayer, or in a commissioning before going out into a missionary place. But the idea that I can program a transfer of gifting or anointing of power is really not found in Scripture. It's an occult pagan idea.
All right.
Well, but like you were saying, Carol, when you have a lot of believers naive to what is going on, they seek in the, I guess, the excitement of it. This is why they flock to a lot of these different types of meetings, because they like the entertainment. They want this, I guess, this power from, you know, this self-proclaimed power that they think they get by laying on their hands, and this one person can impart this power.
That's what they teach within the New Apostolic Reformation. They teach that there are these throne zones, that there are these anointed places that you can go. That's why we had the Brownsville meeting, the Pensacola meeting, the Lakeland, Florida meeting, where Todd Bentley was. So people rush from a geographical area to another geographical area. This is such a heresy. Our God is everywhere at all times. He is not contained to a local place, to an outpouring in a local place through a particular person. That is what shamans and voodoo priests do. In the occult world, the shaman is the one who goes into the spirit world, and he brings back information, and then he gives it to the devotee. And then the devotee can know what ritual to perform or what action to perform to appease the gods or manipulate the spiritual forces. So what is happening today in this modern prophetic movement is that there are men who are claiming to be Christian leaders who really are functioning as shamans or voodoo priests. They journey into the spirit world. They visit heaven, the third heaven. They encounter angels. Todd Bentley has his angel Emma. They get revelations from these things that they bring back to their followers, of practices that are not found in Scripture, that the followers then can perform to manipulate spiritual forces. So they come back and they do this sort of, they give this idea, they give this new doctrine. For instance, you know, these cleansing of the land ceremonies, they come back and they say that you can cleanse the land by pouring communion cup and walking around your property and breaking bread all over the property, and that you can have You can change the land. You can cleanse the land. You can bind demons. You can loose demons. These are rituals. These are shaman practices, witchcraft practices. They are not in the Bible. Paul did not do this. Peter did not do this. The apostles didn't do this. Jesus didn't do this. They are lies.
Well, would you say that they're dealing with demons? They're dealing with familiar spirits. They're not dealing with the Spirit of God.
They're dealing with doctrines of demons. These are doctrines of demons that tell you that you can get certain power to bind and loose Satan. Look, Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. The only person that's going to bind Satan is Jesus Christ. When he comes down, when he rules on Earth for 1,000 years, he's going to bind Satan for 1,000 years. He is going to do it. He is going to bind him. Until that point, Satan is the god of this world. There are not territorial demons. There are not geographic places that he has a greater hold and a lesser hold. This is all makeup and nonsense. This has been all made up. It is not scriptural. Sometimes these apostles and prophets go back into the Old Testament and they find verses in the Old Testament. And they bring them forward into this new covenant church. We are a new covenant church of grace. Jesus Christ fulfilled the old law. We do not have to go back into the old priesthood. We do not have to go back into the Davidic tabernacle worship, types of worship of the Old Testament. We do not have to stomp 24/7 into fasting and praying and binding and cleansing and all of this stuff. This takes us into legalism and bondage. We are set free through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who lives as our high priest and intercessor. He lives to intercede on our behalf for 24/7 continuously on the right-hand side of God the Father. I just have to go to Jesus, give him my petition. He says, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will come to him with a problem I have, and I'll say, Jesus, I feel very burdened with this, and I know the scripture tells me not to be burdened. You told me not to be anxious for anything, so I cast my cares on you because you care for me, and I thank you that you live to intercede on my behalf, and your hand is not too short. Thank you, Lord, and I leave my garbage with him, and he will deal with it appropriately. It's like your listeners, when they put their garbage into the garbage can, and when the garbage man comes on Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday or whatever day to take the garbage, they don't run down the street after him, begging him to give the garbage back. They let him take it to the dumpster. Jesus Christ lives to take our troubles and burdens so that we can become light and free to proclaim the gospel. And that is our job.
And like you said, it's the simplicity of the gospel. And this is what they have to complicate, these self-proclaimed prophets and apostles. They have to complicate it. It's just a matter of receiving Christ, what he did at the cross. If you're bound up, God can set you free, but you have to receive it. You have to receive it. And it's really simple. It's simple enough where a baby can understand it, but people have to complicate it.
Well, it has to be what a baby understands, because Jesus told the disciples, when the disciples tried to keep the children away from him, he said to them, let the children come unto me. Unless you are like one of these, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Children have a very simple faith. They'd say, are we there yet, Mom and Dad? And if Mom and Dad say yes or no, they believe them. If they say yes, they believe them. You know what? We have got wonderful promises from a God who loves us so dearly. He promised he would never leave us. He would never leave us. That means he is with us day and night. I can't get closer to him. I can't practice his presence. I can't get into contemplative prayer, which is, by the way, Mike Bickle has introduced through his International House of Prayer into the New Apostolic Reformation movement. Huge, Roman Catholic teachings and mystical teachings on contemplative prayer and mysticism and all of this stuff that is coming through, altered trance states, altered states of consciousness. This is all so that our minds can go into a place, into numbness, into neutral, into nothingness, so Satan can waste our time with nothingness. When the Lord God said, if you love me with all your mind, and with that mind, where to bring it under the meditation of the Word of God day and night. David said, I meditate on your Word day and night. We just need to read the Word of God, keep to the promises, meditate on the sweetness of them, and just keep thanking God with an attitude of gratitude for what he's done for us through Jesus Christ.
Amen. That was beautiful, beautiful word. And we just enjoyed you. And Carol, just tell our listening audience, do you have any speaking engagements, or what's your activity for the next year?
Actually, they can always go onto my website, www.caryl, that's spelt a little differently. It's C-A-R-Y-L, so it's caryltv.com. And if they go into caryltv.com, they can sign on to my free newsletter that I write out every week and send out information on all the things that I'm doing. On our webpage, it gives our itinerary, my radio shows. I'm actually off in about 3 weeks. I'm going to be speaking in England and Scotland and Wales. And
wow.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And then at the end of the year, we're going to have volume 3 of our Wide is the Gate, the Emerging New Christianity, coming out. And, life is, I thank God for the opportunities, the doors that he opens for me, especially with dear friends like you and radio shows like, I just love it. Thank you.
Yes, we love having you on here, and we can't wait until Volume 3 comes out.
Well, please pray for me. And I do ask for your listeners to pray for us, because as I'm sure you can imagine, the spiritual warfare is pretty intense. But, you know, I know who the enemy is. We're told if we know the wiles of the devil, we just give it to the Lord, and Jesus is faithful. Get everything done in his time, as long as we rest in him and adhere to him and lean on him and rely on him and trust in him. So I encourage all your listeners to do that, and I just thank you so very much, and I encourage them to go to our webpage, caryltv.com, and take our free subscriptions, look at our previews of most of the films. They've got little trailers on them so they can see a lot of our work, and all good.
Well, we appreciate it. Well, I love that you can close us out in prayer, and we'll be getting with you, Carol, to see what it would take to get you here in Atlanta, and I'll call you after, and we'll just try to see what we can do.
Oh, such an honor, such a pleasure. That would be so wonderful. Well, Lord, thank you for my dear brothers and sisters and for all the work that they've put into this broadcast. Thank you, Lord, for opening the doors of opportunity that we can all talk about you. How wonderful it is to talk about you. How sweet it is, Lord. And we know that it's a sweet aroma to your nostrils when we give you praise and glory. And, Lord, we pray for all those people that are blinded in heresy and apostasy. And I just ask you to challenge family members who love you, Lord, to be able to reach out in love to their lost family members and encourage them to have boldness and power to talk about you and what you have done to give us freedom for all eternity. So, Lord, thank you. Please continue to refresh us and bless us and fill us with your Holy Spirit, us close to you. And we just thank you so much for everything. In Jesus' precious name above all names, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we enjoyed it. Again, we just want to thank our listening audience for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week on Kingdom of God Ministries. Well, Carol, you be blessed and have a blessed evening, and we'll be talking to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.